Heavenly Father, you are worthy. You are holy. You are the King of all kings, and you sit on the throne. You reign from your throne. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have this morning to come and worship you. You are the name above all names, and this morning is all about you, Lord, all for your glory. So, Lord, I pray that the words that I speak now would be your words, Lord, that I would disappear and you would be lifted up and exalted, Father, and you would speak to all our hearts the message you want to speak today, Lord, from your word, from this powerful book we've been going through, Lord. Help us to understand it. Help us to have the wisdom to know how to apply it. And we give you all the glory for what you're going to do this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome here. I just want to extend my greeting as well for those who may not know me. My name is Andrew, and I have the privilege of being the associate pastor here at Sturgeon Alliance Church. It is great to be gathered here this morning to look at the Word once again in our series on Revelation. And last week, Pastor Brent was preaching on chapter 4, and as was already mentioned, is two sides of a coin, and we're in chapter 5 today. So, you know, sometimes you're watching a show, and I don't know how many of you got Disney Plus. I know we've got it because young kids, and it's been good to watch. But when you're watching a show in a series, and you come to the next episode, a continuation, sometimes it says previously on so and so Mandalorian or whatever you may be watching, and it gives you a recap then, and then you jump right back into where you are. Well, I want to give us a bit of a recap of last week's sermon from chapter 4, Brent brought to us, because it's important. Because we're going back into that scene today. So you could summarize Pastor Brent's sermon with one word: holy. How many times did we hear that word last week? Because that is what it was all about. It was the holiness of God. It was this throne room that John is seeing. The amazing things that he's witnessing there. Chapter 4 is kind of like setting the scene. It's like the scenery. And now in chapter 5, we're going to begin to see the drama unfold before us. He can only describe what was surrounding the throne because it was so awesome. Surrounded by the 24 elders, the throne is surrounded by them. They represented the people of God, the 12 disciples and the 12 tribes, and represented that, the people of God. And they wore white and they had crowns. And that brings us back as well to the seven churches. This is something that we've said from the beginning of this series, is we are looking through the book of Revelation, not just as future and prophetic about future events, although it is that as well, but it is for us now, it is for us today in discipleship, and also through the lens of the seven churches. And as we hear about them wearing white and crowns, we go back to remembering even Laodicea, how they wore black wool. And Jesus says, I will give you clothes of white, robes of white, and the crown, and Smyrna, if you remember all the way back to that he says, I'll give you the crown if you overcome. We're going to continue not to leave the seven churches behind in the dust, but to continue to see how they're going to be brought forward through this book. Lightning and thunder came from the throne of this pitcher. Seven lamps lit before it represented the seven spirits of God. There was the beautiful sea of crystal glass, and glass at that time actually was a very rare thing. So to see this sight of perfect crystal glass, a sea of it, absolutely awesome. The four living creatures covered in eyes, the lion, the ox, the face of a man, the eagle, all the symbolism. We're going to continue to see some weird creatures in this book. And we're going to ask the Lord for wisdom as we try to figure out what is the meaning behind this. You know, an image that Pastor Brent gave us last week was this, of the sun ending the message with a candle here at the front that was just a little candle flickering. Comparing it to that, is Jesus that to you, or is he the power of the sun? And that's where we've been. And now we enter the throne room again today, and things begin to happen as the events of the end of all things begin. The drama begins to unfold. So read with me Revelation 5. Revelation 5, the scroll and the lamb. I'm reading from the NIV translation. Let's read the Word of God together. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." And then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and every language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. See, there's a contrast here as we want to look at this passage. There's a contrast happening here as we look at John who's seeing this vision. And as I've been preparing this sermon this week and seeking the Lord and what he wants to speak, I can tell you guys that many times I've read this passage this week and I walked away just in awe. What do you say after reading a passage like this? It's overwhelming. This picture of the throne room is so hard to even describe. So we just want to walk through it this morning and ask the Lord for wisdom to show us, as I've been seeking him this week as well, because we need his wisdom. As we continue in the book of Revelation, we need his wisdom and insight to show us. John is standing there and he sees in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. Here's a picture of a scroll, and this is very significant. As we look to the ancient world and see what scrolls meant at that time, books were actually written on scrolls. Sometimes they were 30 feet long. They were rolled up with clay and wax, written on papyrus or vellum. They were used for all sorts of things, but scrolls that had seals of wax meant they were very important, that they were meant to be closed until someone who had the power to open them could open them and see what was inside of it. So if a document, if a scroll had a seal on it, it was very significant. The scroll that John sees in the right hand of the one on the throne has seven seals. We know, and we've seen it already, and we're going to continue to see it today and beyond. The number seven is very important in the book of Revelation. It means completion. It means perfection. So this scroll has seven seals. That shows us how important this is. As writing on both sides, and as you look into that, scrolls in that time, if it had writing on the outside, sometimes that meant that it was a description of what was inside. Or sometimes there was so much going on that they had to write on the outside. But more importantly, it probably meant that it was a description on this is what this scroll holds. And that's why it has writing on both sides. And it's sealed, shut. John knows that this scroll contains the contents of God's plan for what is to come to our world. And a mighty angel then proclaims in verse 1 there, who is worthy, verse 2, sorry, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or under the earth could open the scroll, could break its seals, or look inside. It's angel. We need to picture this. Just as we've been in the seven churches, picture this scene. And I know it's a hard scene to picture, but as best we can. John's seen the scroll here. Who is worthy? And no one is worthy. No one on heaven, no one there at the time with the elders and the living creatures and angels, no one on earth, no king, no leader, no power on this earth, no one in under the earth, no one anywhere was worthy to open this scroll. And so John's response to that, and we don't know how long it was, because there's no time in heaven. It's outside of our time. This throne room is outside of our world of clocks and time. We don't know how long it was, but he hears no one is worthy. And so his response to that is, he weeps. He weeps, he sobs, not because he really wanted to see what's inside that scroll, like a kid with a Christmas gift or something. That's not why he's weeping. Why is John weeping? Well, we heard it in this song this morning before this message was delivered here. He is worthy in the darkness that is around in our world. He sees the chaos. He sees the hopelessness. And he's saying, Lord, when will it end? When is all this going to end? When is the Lord's Prayer actually going to come and happen on earth? He sees this chaos and he's weeping because no one can open it. He's overwhelmed by grief, the suffering and disordered world. We've all felt this way in life at times. When life seems like utter chaos, when it feels like our world is spinning out of control and it's too much, and all we can do is we fall down and we weep, we sob. It's too much for us to endure. It's too much for us to survive, we feel. So we are broken and we weep because, Lord, when is this going to end? When is this circumstance going to end? Chaos hit our world as a family when Malachi was only 3 months old. And when Malachi was 3 months old, he got a cold. You know, and colds aren't good, you know, for infants for sure, right? For 3 months old. And so he was sick, and we took him in to get looked at, and he got better and came back home and thought everything was fine. And a short while later, he got really sick again, and his breathing was really bad and scary. And I'm so thankful for Sue's amazing motherly instinct that we need to take him in. We need to take him into emergency because something's wrong. And so we took him into emergency, and that night I was supposed to be rapping and speaking at a youth event in Karenport, and it was literally like an hour before. So I remember speaking and rapping, and my mind was just on Sue and Malachi in the hospital, not knowing what was happening there. And I was with our other two at that time, with Hannah and Elias. And I went home that night and prayed, and I fell asleep just exhausted and emotional. And I woke up to a text in the morning as I opened my eyes, and it was a picture of this. This is an air ambulance. And I remember looking at this picture, and even seeing it now still brings it all back. I remember looking at him, why is Sue sending me a picture of a plane? They're in the hospital in Moose Jaw. And Malachi's situation had gotten so bad with his breathing that they said, we need to fly him to Saskatoon. He needs intense care right now. And all of a sudden, our whole world was spun into chaos. And I was home, and he was in the hospital for 10 days in Saskatoon. I was at home with the kids. Sue was there, and we were apart, and there was chaos. And we had all sorts of support from our community there and prayers. I remember people even telling me, you know, God's on the throne. And it was hard. But through that time, actually, one cool story out of many is a non-Christian friend of mine who's a rapper messaged me and knew what was going on from Facebook and said, hey, can we come out and visit you? They lived in Regina, him and his girlfriend. And I said, you know, can we come visit you because you need some help and support? I said, we're doing okay. He's like, you know what? I think we're going to come. So with no notice, him and his girlfriend came out and they walked into our home where I was and shared what was happening. And he said, I can't believe that you're not just a mess right now, that you're not just broken down. Like, how are you holding it together? And I said, it's God, man. It's God. And that led to conversations, and it's been an ongoing relationship I've had with him for years. But he saw how I was clinging to God in this because I had to. How God worked in that chaos. All of us have had times in our lives where that similar events have happened. Whether it was health or whether it was all sorts of things, financial situations, chaos comes and it feels hopeless. But in all of it, God's in control, reigning on his throne. When it feels hopeless, he's hope. When it's painful, he's our healing. When it's dark, he's our light. When it's chaotic, he's in control. When we weep, he is with us. And in this scene, an elder then says to John, as he is weeping here, as he is crying his eyes out because no one can open it, an elder says to him, do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll. He is able to open the scroll and the seven seals. Just pause there for a moment. When you weep, you're usually closing your eyes, right? You don't usually cry and weep with your eyes open. That would be weird and impossible, I think. But you're pouring hot tears coming, and your head's usually bowed, and you're broken down, and your body's shaking. And this is what's happening to John. His eyes are shut. He's thinking about the hopelessness. And this elder says, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. That word see, or some translations might say, behold, behold. This word has been sticking out to me like crazy this week. This word behold, what does it mean? It's used a lot in Scripture. In fact, it is used 30 times alone in the book of Revelation. We can just flash back to one instance, the church in Laodicea, when he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Behold means look here. Look here. Lift your eyes. We're going to hear the word behold in the Christmas season coming up here. The Christmas passages, behold, will be used. Book of Revelation and this particular passage about senses, about what you're seeing. For the church, remember the churches, it said, those who have an ear, let them hear the senses. So as his eyes are closed and he's weeping, he says, look at the one who's seated on the throne, the one who reigns over all. Lift your head and gaze upon him. Behold him. It is a word of powerful proclamation when it's used in Scripture. The story isn't done. There's hope because of the one who sits on the throne. This world wants our gaze. It wants our focus. It wants our time. It wants our worship. It wants us to bow down to it. The world wants our gaze, but we need to fix our eyes on the Ancient of Days. When chaos strikes, we must lift up our eyes, even as we are weeping, and behold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And John has been told that he'll see a lion. Picture of a lion here. We know, powerful, powerful creature. King of all creatures, usually. Usually meaning power and majesty and strength and conquering. All these words come to mind when we see this lion. Terrifying, powerful creature. And he's told he'll see the lion. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Going back to all sorts of Old Testament allusions and meanings to this, we could get into it, a whole other sermon on that. But this was a name that was given to Jesus, the Lion of Judah, where the kings came from, the Root of David. He's from the Lion of David, the prophecies of Old Testament, Revelation steeped in the Old Testament. So he's told he's going to see a lion. So he's anticipating a powerful, royal, conquering lion. And then in verse 6, it says, "Then I saw a lamb." Lambs are not usually known as powerful. Lambs are not usually known as conquering or strong. They're known as weak. They're known as broken animals that are just not good for very much. They're definitely not known for power and might. You know, but he sees a little lamb. And not only a little lamb, but a lamb who'd been slain. Like this picture here. It had the marks of sacrifice. The marks of crucifixion were on this lamb. That's what this whole passage is all about. He is worthy because he is slain. He is worthy because of the crucifixion. He is worthy because of his death. Through his death, we have life. The picture of this lamb he sees is slain. It has the marks. The contrast between this lion, the picture we just had up, and this lamb is very different. But this is what he sees. And this lamb, let's talk about this lamb a little bit because it wasn't your average looking one. It says he has seven eyes, seven horns and seven eyes. And I found this depiction just to kind of give an idea of what that would look like here. Kind of freaky. Seven eyes and seven horns and slain. There's significance to this. Once again, the number seven means completion. Horns in Scripture meant power or authority. So this lamb had seven horns, which means it was all powerful. It had all power. It had seven eyes, which meant it was all seeing. It was all knowing. Just like the other living creatures that surrounded the throne were covered in eyes. They constantly looked at the throne and said, "Holy, holy, holy." And the seven spirits. This lamb is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. This lamb is Jesus, the Son of God. And this lamb that is slain is standing. Slain usually doesn't stand. Slain usually means broken and crumpled, weak, lame mess. But this lamb stands because he is the Son of God, bearing the wounds and scars from the crucifixion. He stands because he is victorious. He has defeated death. He stands with all power over all things. This lamb stands. And where does he stand? That's very important for us to look at as well. Where does he stand? Does he stand behind the throne? Does he stand in front of the throne, beside the throne? No, he stands in the center of the throne. We go back to Laodicea. You remember when I preached that message, and at the end of it, I said he needs to be the center of your life. Laodicea had pushed him off the throne, and they were sitting on the throne saying, "Look at us, we got everything we need. We don't need you." And I said, Jesus needs to be the center. He does not share the spotlight. The Lamb does not share the spotlight with anyone. He is in the center. He is on the throne. This is his throne. This is his throne. All things in this throne room surround him. All focus is on him. And so John sees this slain lamb, and he sees him go to the right hand of the Father and take the scroll. And when he does that, the 24 elders and the living creatures fall down before him. The only response to the lamb is worship. It's worship. That's what this throne room is all about. It's about worship. Bowing down, they fall down before him in awe and reverence. And look at what the two things, that they're holding two things, harps and golden bowls of incense. Harps obviously used for worship, for music, for praising God. They have harps that they're holding. Picture this. We usually think, when we think of worship, we think of music, which is wonderful. I love worship music. I know many of us do. God's given us the gift of instruments and voices to sing and worship. We see that in this passage. But you know what their first response is? It's not to start playing on the harp. It's to fall down. Worship is falling down on our face flat before the throne sometimes and saying, God, we worship you and you alone. It doesn't need to be a song. Their immediate response is falling down. And they're holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Do you ever feel like your prayers don't go anywhere? Do you ever feel like when you're praying in those difficult times or whatever it may be, that these prayers are just dissolving? And does God really hear them? And are they really going to be answered? Is there really power in these prayers? This passage tells us that they are heard. Not only are they heard, they are kept. How amazing is that? Your prayers, any prayer you've said, whether it's a groaning of your heart or a little prayer for safety as you drive or a prayer in times of chaos, they are kept. And not only are they kept, they're brought before the throne, before the Lamb. Your prayers are ever present before the Lord's throne. Do you want to add some incense to that golden bowl? Come to Power Hour tonight, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to come together and pray for our families. We're going to put our hands up and we're going to lay down and worship the Lord through prayer. There is power in prayer. And the prayers this evening that are going to take place in this very room are going to be brought before the throne room of God. And they may not be answered in our time, because as I said, it's outside of our time. They may not be answered how we want to, but God hears them. And they're brought before him. And they are a beautiful, sweet aroma. After they fall down in verse 9, they sing. And this begins three waves of praise. Kind of like this ripple effect here of water going out. And the throne room is the heart of the book of Revelation. We're going to go out and we're going to come back. We're going to go out and we're going to come back. And everything comes out from this throne and the Lamb on the throne. And there's three waves of praise like a ripple effect. It's the epicenter. The first wave is the elders, the people of God, the saints singing a new song. I love writing new songs when they come. God gives you that inspiration. If anyone here writes songs, you know how exciting it is to sing a new song. They're singing this new song because of what they've seen, and they can sing the song now. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain. Because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men from God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. The King of Kings loves the world, every tribe, every nation. We see how racism tears our world apart and different people of different color treat each other terrible. Man, God loves everybody. Praise universal for every tribe and language and people and nation. This is the entire world. And they sing this new song. And then the second wave is the angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. It doesn't really matter the numbers. It's a whole lot. What matters is what they're doing. They're worshiping. A myriad of angels are worshiping, and they sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Sevenfold worship. Once again, the number of completion. Remember, as these churches are going to be hearing this, we'll go back to the churches hearing this. You know, the church in Smyrna who is facing persecution and is going through the pain and seeing people killed for the name of Jesus, how would they have heard this? promised that if you overcome, this is what the throne you will have. For the church in Laodicea and Thyatira and those places that were compromising, how would they have heard this? There's still a promise to them that if you repent, you will overcome, and this will be where you will be with me. And then the third wave, and this is one that's just been striking me as I've read it and stepped back from it a few times, as I said, is it then says this: "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" It begins with the elders and goes to the angels and the living creatures, and then it goes to all of creation. In this world, you can bow to Jesus now. You can follow Jesus. You can lay down before him and give him your life and declare you're going to follow him. You can bow the knee now, or you can bow the knee later. Meaning that either way, your knee is going to bow. Everyone's knee is going to bow to the Lamb on the throne. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many possessions you have. It doesn't matter what your name is. Every knee is going to bow at the throne of God. Amen? We need to remember that. All heaven breaks loose. You know, we hear the phrase, all hell breaks loose when things go crazy. This scene is all heaven is breaking loose, breaking chains, going forth. This is Philippians 2, 9 and 11 in action. "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is seeing that in action. Our world tells us to stand and applaud when people of power walk in the room, not in God's kingdom. Worship is to fall. What is the name of our Revelation series? Revelation, you know? At the name of Jesus. The reason we chose that is because that is the focus of this book. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And then the four living creatures say amen, and they fall down and worship. There's a whole lot of falling down in this passage. We worship the Lamb because he is in total control. The enemy is defeated. Satan is defeated because of the Lamb, because of the slain Lamb that gave his life, who came into our dark world, who came as a baby. Because of that, the enemy, Satan, is defeated. Let us never forget that. He will fight against us. He will war against us. But he is a defeated enemy because of the blood of the Lamb. Our suffering will one day conclude because he is worthy. Last week's message could be summarized by the word holy. This week's message could be with the word worthy. This is a powerful passage. And for us to apply in our lives, to remember that I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know if you're feeling the weight and chaos and struggle. You know, we've known in our church body here that that's happened even this week. But God's on the throne. The Lamb is on the throne, reigning and in control. And that should excite us. And that should motivate us. And that should help us come through the hard times. In that time where we were struggling with Malachi, as I said, many people said, "We're praying for you, Andrew. We're praying for you guys." But it was one or two people that actually said, "God's on the throne." And that brought me tremendous encouragement. Because that is the truth. That is the truth, and that is what we need to remember. I think probably most of us here know that I do rap music, and I try to use my rap music in a worshipful way. That's my goal. Every time I write, it's not about me. It's about making Jesus famous. And that's a struggle at times, as you've heard my story a little bit with that. But I love writing songs that are just directed to the King of Kings, using a medium that this world and the enemy says are his, but they're not. Using light in the dark culture of rap. And one of my favorite Christian rap groups is called Beautiful Eulogy. I love that name because it just means that even at the end, it's still beautiful because we know where we're going. We're going to the throne room. We're going to the place that's our home, that's heaven. And they have written an album called Worthy, which have all sorts of songs of just focusing on Christ. And they have a song, self-titled song off that album called Worthy. And I just want to rap and just kind of read rap a few of these lyrics from this song because it just stood out to me that there's such power in these words. So just look at these words, and I'm just going to rap here for a moment here. You are Christ the consummate, my hope and every confidence. Worthy to receive praise from every mouth and every continent. Infinitely worthy of loyalty and my allegiance. Worthy enough to die to self, to offer my obedience. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Son of Man. Worthy is the one who takes the scrolls from his holy hand. Where angels and elders and living creatures all fall and worship the highest King, the most worthy of all. He is worthy. We sang that this morning. He is worthy. And what a better way to respond to Jesus this morning, the Lamb on the throne. We have the opportunity to come to his table this morning in communion. I just want to pray here, and we're going to transition into the time around the table. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you are the Lamb seated on the throne. Thank you that you are above all, that in our chaotic, dark, miserable world, that you are reigning, that you hear our prayers. Lord, help us to fall down before you, not try to stand on our own. Lord, it's only by your blood, it's only the power that's in your blood, not any of us here have any power in our blood. Our blood's not precious, Jesus. Only yours is. And it's because of that blood that we have life, that we have victory, and that the scroll could be opened and you could bring forth your plan for the reclamation of this world, Lord. Everything is yours. So, Lord, as we approach this table, we remember what you've done for us. We remember what means for us. We also look forward to your coming again, your promise to come on the clouds, Father. For your kingdom to come down, Lord. Heaven as it is, earth, Lord Jesus. We come to this table this morning thanking you. You are worthy.